ears.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade!
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stuff and the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting here with my lovely life. Their normal enthusiasm, as always. And if you hear any snoring in the background, we're also joined by Duke the Pit and Roxy Rue, who will probably make random noises throughout the show. For you guys who don't know, Roxy and Rue are the dogs who need all the attention in the world. And even though Duke is awake, he's still snoring with his eyes open. It's the weirdest thing ever. So, how you doing?
Living my best life.
A big ass cup of coffee. Well, mug of coffee, I should say.
Listen, I clean the kitchen all before 8:30 a.m.
Oh, shit, really? Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, look at you all fancy smancy. So, I did have a show out last week, and I don't think I had one out the week before, but we did do an Instagram Live on Old Man Wade Com, which I definitely think you should check out. It's on the Instagram page, Old Man Wade Com. I definitely check it out with my homegirl, Miss Telekinesis. We discussed a bunch of stuff, actually. being creepy when talking to women, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, being pro-choice, and a bunch of other stuff. Like I said, it's on the Old Man Wade Com Instagram page. It's apparently 138 minutes and 13 seconds, and I didn't realize it was that long. But people joined in. We're going to do another one. It was super fun. I love the fact that we had a lot of women on there who felt like they were in a safe space enough to really tell the stories and the horrible things that happened to them. And some other men chimed in to actually say that, like, you know, that they're actually disgusted with the way women have been treated. So, yeah, so we had to take a quick break. But don't forget, go visit oldmanwade.com to go check out that video. It's super dope. It's long, but if you want something just to have background noise on and listen to, it's definitely worth the list. The peep. Check it out. My wife was on there. She voiced her opinion, and it was funny how she said, "Do I have to be involved?" And I'm laughing. I'm like, "You're going to be involved, because you're going to hear something that's going to either annoy you or intrigue you, and you're going to jump right in." And she did. And the stuff that she said was absolutely true. A lot of points were made that even I didn't think about. But again, I'm a guy, so there are going to be things that I don't necessarily think about, because there are the issues that women deal with aren't things that I have to deal with. So it was super, super cool. Definitely make sure you give it a listen to. But we're going to talk about something serious towards the end. So I want to start with the shows we've been watching. We watched, first to start with, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Marvel's newest Disney Plus show. Episode 1 was super dope. It was fun.
You know why?
What?
Because Captain America. Fucking sandpaper. It wasn't dry as fuck.
He ain't with that again.
What? He's like one of those chino-wearing dads, like, who thinks he's cool because they're on vacation. Like, I hate Captain America.
I don't get that. But, you know, that's just me. That's just my thoughts on it. I think my wife is bugging, but you know, I'm gonna let her cook on that. But so I'm guessing you did like it though.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good.
It seemed more like an MCU movie than it seemed more MCU-ish than WandaVision did. WandaVision seemed like its whole, like, its own entity. You know what I mean? It was a lot more dramatic. The episodes were definitely shorter, because the Falcon Winter Soldier one was like 40 minutes. The WandaVision ones were no more than like 35 or something like that. So I kind of knew what I was getting into. Falcon and Bucky haven't met yet. Thought it was cool. They opened up with that really intense action sequence with the Falcon, like, flying through the air and saving somebody at the last minute. We saw some stuff from Winter Soldier in his past. So I liked all of that.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great.
Did you have any expectations going in, or were you just kind of like, eh?
I was concerned because I, as you know, not a big fan of Captain America, the franchise. Like, I don't know, for some reason, the movies are just boring to me. Although, I do feel like that I like Bucky, and I like
Sam Wilson.
Sam Wilson, yeah. So, because they both have character, though. I think that's my biggest problem with Captain America is he's literally flat. He has, like, a flat affect. Like, he's just boring. He's, like, literally, like I said, the epitome of, like, dry toast with no water while in the desert. Like, I'd rather starve.
Like, you just think he's just too, like, not too all-American and wholesome.
No, it's not even the wholesome piece. Like, he's just boring. He's boring. You can be wholesome and not boring. Like, I feel like he always wears neutral colors because everything else is too loud. He was born in,
like, the 1920s. So, yeah, he only wears, like, neutral colors.
I don't know.
Bucky only wears neutral colors.
Yeah, but they don't look, I don't know, it's different.
Do you not like Chris Evans? Is that what it is? Do you hate Chris Evans?
No, I don't need, I mean, I hate him as Captain America. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to make my wife sit down and watch all three Captain America movies, and I'm willing to
and
bet...
And I'm going to fall asleep through them again,
But sure thing. I'm willing to bet money that after the MCU is over, we've watched Infinity War and Endgame, that she likes the trilogy better now. And it's funny, you liked Civil War, Captain America Civil War. It was okay to me. Like, you know what I mean? Not something I go back and watch. I watched a giant fight scene, but I don't... It was like the weakest out of all three Captain Americas to me. I do like that they didn't stifle Sam Wilson's blackness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean, I feel like every show is going to make that point now because
it's the popular thing to do.
Yeah, like who knows if it was genuine or not, but I guess its representation is important. So
yeah,
being allowed to have the character be black
and deal with things that black people actually have to
deal
with. Like, I love the idea of him who's served in the military, saved the universe, disappeared for 5 years, and they really did question, like, oh, where were you for the last 5 years? He was like, I didn't exist.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, what about this? He goes, well, I have a job, I work for the military, I'm doing all this other stuff, and he still couldn't get a bank loan.
No, that was sad.
And someone pointed out, I hope I still have the picture. They were talking about Vision, who is an android. Oh, man. It's one of those moments I wish I would have had this queued up because it was actually super funny. Here we go. White privilege is being able to buy a dream home property with your wife with no job, no proof of history, no birth certificate, and no fingerprints, while your black co-worker with a successful business and collateral can't refinance his house they already own.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And I saw that, I went, oh, I never thought about that. But it's 100% true. But I like the fact that they did that. I feel like this season is going to end with him walking back and, like, slamming, like something on the bank teller's, like, on the bank manager's desk going, boom, not getting my fucking loan or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't wait for Bucky and Sam to interact because the way they came together in the movies was absolutely glorious. Like, they're hysterical together. Their chemistry is awesome. I honestly can't wait for that to happen. And Sam had, like I said, Bucky trying to make amends for all the horrible things he did when he was mind controlled was deep. And then finding out that the dude he killed was his friend's father.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, realize, like, he's going to have to make amends with him and, like, how hurt he was. And then, like, the little subtle jokes when the bartender asked him how old he was, and he goes, oh, 101. And she laughed. He goes, ha-ha. He goes, ha-ha-ha-ha.
I can't. Yeah.
It was kind of cool. I like that it's an MCU movie. Excuse me. It's an MCU series. It's not going to be like WandaVision. I hope that people don't go in there thinking that it's going to be like that, because it's absolutely not going to be.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of watching this show with you was at the end of it when they showed that dude who looked like Captain America. He was like, who the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he had the most punchable face I've ever seen in my life. I was like, they picked the perfect person to play that. Like, that stupid square jaw and stupid arrogant grin. Like, I get to be Captain America and I did nothing to get there. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
They knew what they were doing. I can't wait to see what happens next. And the internet went crazy with that. I know I made a meme and it said, I had Russell Westbrook under it. He goes, whose man's is this? Or has there ever been a more punchable face? To which Jeremy said, Tucker Carlson. I was like, yeah, I can't argue that.
Who's Tucker Carlson?
I'll pull up a picture, but trust me, he has a very punchable face.
I mean, you can show me later, but...
And next up, so I also watched we just watched the Invincible trailer, which I knew you were going to absolutely love. So we watched the teaser trailer, and then we watched the most recent trailer that came out. And you seemed glued to all the stuff like that, and it was like the action looked really good and all that. But what did you think of the animation? That was the first thing that popped in my head, was like how crisp.
I thought the animation was great. It actually looked more of like, you know, like a throwback homage to like old school, like the Batman series. It reminded me of that type of like drawing, like the...
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like...
Like, was it like the crispness
of
it?
Yeah, like the clean, the sharp lines, the like...
Yeah.
It gave me the same vibes.
But even with like the old, with the comic book series in general, it kind of does give you that vibe because the art in the comic book, which I'll bring up and show you, it does kind of feel like that because it kind of is like that. Like the series starts off, it seems very, oh, wholesome. Kid has a father who's a superhero. He hasn't got his powers yet. And then when he finally gets his powers, it's like, you know, you think everything's just going to be honky-dory. He's a high school kid. All the stuff happens. And next thing you know, boom. All this, like, you know, it doesn't end at the way. So this is what the comic book looked like.
Okay.
It has a very old school vibe to it. But it's also still, like I said earlier, it's crisp, just like the animated series is.
Mm-hmm.
There was a scene where a superhero was just running through a bunch of people in blood spray. He was like, oh. Because with the way the trailer was going, you didn't expect something like that to happen. Because like I said, it seemed very old school, very Superman from the, like, you know, we watched it on the CW when we were kids, or Batman the Animated Series. And then, maybe it was Fox. It doesn't matter. But then to see him running through that, what was the first thing that popped in your head? Like seeing how like violent and bloody it got out of nowhere.
I like shows and they do that. Like, I feel like because so many things get brought down to like PG-13 and stuff, you don't really get to experience what the comic is really about. Like, I know that sounds kind of ridiculous in a sense, because do you really need to see the violence? But I think it's kind of important at the same time.
It is, because it adds a sense of realism to it. I think that's one of the reasons why you in particular and a lot of other people gravitated towards The Boys.
Yeah.
Because we saw things that, like, we would assume that, like,
would happen, yeah, with superheroes.
Like, the corporations are going to get involved. They're going to have to keep up an image, but in private, they're doing all sorts of, like, debaucherous things.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, like, remember when that little dude and The Boys jumped in that woman's vagina, and we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, if a dude could do that as a superhero and the woman was going to let him do it, yes, he's totally going to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
So, yeah, like, it's everything that you want it to be, and this is Invincible is going to be like The Boys in a sense where there's going to be a lot of realistic aspects to it. It's not going to be as dark in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get as much cursing and innuendos. And I hate to keep harping on the same word, but it's a wholesome version of a really fucked up world.
Yeah.
Because, like, Mark Grayson, who is Invincible, he's in high school. And he just gets these powers, and then he has to go to college. And then he ends up working for the government, and then while he's working for the government, and his, like, bills are being paid and all this other stuff, he has a thought to himself. He goes, why am I even going to college if I have these powers and I'm always going to have them? You know what I mean? So then he has that
to... So you're not stupid?
But then again, like, there's that.
Sorry.
But then it's the question that every superhero go through when they have a normal spouse or a normal significant other. Can they relate to the fact that, like, hey, at the drop of a hat, I'm going to have to go save the world?
Yeah.
And then on the other side of that, the other person's feeling selfish for saying, what about my needs, when their needs are insignificant to that of billions. But in there, there's no selfishness in asking these questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
They show two sides of the story. They also... I think my favorite part about the comic book series, which I really hope they get into with the show, is Mark grows as the show grows.
Okay.
Because when you first meet him, he's a senior in high school. By the end of the series, I can't tell you how old he is, but at the end of the series, you go back and you've seen how much he's grown as a person and as a hero. And towards the end of the show, him and his significant other define what a hero is to them.
Okay.
And at one point, they go, fuck heroes. And another point that I really want to make is, as the show progresses, he doesn't win a lot of the times. Because he's still super young. And a lot of the villains that he's fighting are experienced. So he's going to mess up a lot.
Okay.
People are going to die because of the mistakes he's made. But he's also going to save some people. He's going to have run-ins with the government. He's going to have run-ins with all these things going on. But for the most part, he's a really good hero that makes a lot of really stupid, childish mistakes. But again, he's a kid. So I can't wait to watch it. By the time the first episode comes out, this will have already been out. I think everyone's going to love it. And also on top of that, there's a really good cast of people on here. So we have Sandra Oh, who was in, what's that show you like? Grey's Anatomy, playing his mother. J.K. Simmons, everyone knows that J. Jonah Jameson is playing his father, Nolan Grayson, or Omni-Man. Stephen Young, who is in The Walking Dead, is playing Mark Grayson. Zazie Bates is playing Amber Bennett. Walter Goggins, who we know from The Shield, is playing a dude called Cecil Stedman, who's like the head of the U.S. military. I think the CIA, maybe. But like he's in charge of like superheroes and getting things done. It's like, and he looks like a Southern dude who would like, when you see I'll show you a picture of him later, but when you look at Cecil, he looks like he'd have like this really Southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
And like really, and like, you know, in really kind of like aggressive tones. Like, this works. Jason Mantzoukas, Rafi, from The League, is playing a dude who's essentially a dickhead in the show, so that works. Kevin Michael Richardson, who's done a ton of voice acting, is playing the guys called the Mahler Twins, and Mark Hamill, who's awesome in general, so everyone knows Mark Hamill. Zachary Quinto is playing a dude called Robot, and if he's in something, I'm all for it. He was in Heroes, he was Siler. Your baby daddy's on here, Seth Rogen, playing a guy called Alan the Alien. And there was one more, a couple of people. Jeffrey Donovan. He played Michael Scott in Burn Notice. But he's playing a really good character. So they picked a really good cast of characters. There's some other people on here, but for the most part, those are probably the biggest names that are on here in terms of the characters and the voice actors. I absolutely think everyone is going to love this, and I can't wait to talk about this on the show with you more. Next up, we watched the 4-hour event Justice League, which took us 6 hours to watch because we started talking, we started laughing, we started joking, we were drinking, some people were imbibing in the greenery.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into Justice League, what'd you think about it?
It was long. It was so long. I just remember being like, wait, how much time is left? Remember, we were at like 37 minutes. We stopped for something and I was like, well, I mean, we must be like halfway through.
And you were
like, no, Maria. I didn't think it was horrible. I thought some of the stuff they added back in was cool. I thought some of it was stupid.
Let's stop right there. The stupid thing with Aquaman and the woman in the sweater.
Yes. Or the weird ocean singing from the like ladies of the friggin' Icelandic wherever he is. That was like so random. I was like, why? Okay. I guess it was to get across the point that like they look at him like a god. I don't know, but it was like, I don't know. It was just very odd. There were some things I didn't understand why they changed it in the original movie.
Yeah.
Like, because what they put in the movie that came out was so much more stupid.
Yeah. Like, and they took, one of the things they took out that I thought they should have left in was the scene where Superman was choking Batman. He goes, you won't let me live. you won't let me die. And he goes, the world needs you, but doesn't need you.
Yeah.
And it's like, tell me, do you bleed? And I thought it was a really important part because it was, that's like, I can imagine how someone would feel. It's like, are you kidding me with this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it still gets into, you still have the moment where Lois Lane comes in and saves him. And I thought that the Snyder Cut moment, the moment that the Snyder Cut added in to take out the original, I thought kind of fell flat for me. You know what I mean? It kind of just ended the fight scene in like an abrupt stop. And I was just kind of like, eh. I liked the movie overall. There was a lot of things they took out that I enjoyed, like the family in the Eastern Russian country. It was like, why were they there to begin with? It just took away from the fighting.
Yeah.
Superman coming back in the black suit and like being a lot more serious in that fight added some more to it. The way he beat the dog shit out of Steppenwolf was cool because there was no jokes. It was just, I'm going to fuck him up.
Yeah.
The Flash having a more important role.
That was odd. I don't know why in the movie that came out they made him like pointless almost, like, or like just meek and mild and in the corner essentially.
And like now he had
and that they gave him depth. He has like actual character and you're like, oh, okay. Like,
someone brought up a point because in the Snyder Cut, the Flash talks about how Superman is his favorite hero. Like, he idolizes. So when he looked at Superman for the first time and his eyes lit up, that made so much more sense now.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just because he was Superman's savior of the world. It's like, oh, like, he idolizes this dude. Like, this, like, again, this is, he this is his hero. This is why he knows, he thinks he can do this. Or even in the very beginning where we find out that Superman's death is what set everything off. He's like, all right, now that he's gone, we can make an attempt to go at this stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just little things like that. And like even seeing the giant war that happened between Darkseid, his army, and the old gods.
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah, no, that was really cool. I thought that was really cool.
So they added... So what led me to believe that the reason this movie didn't go off so well the first time around is because Joss Whedon added too much humor to it. Too much levity to it. And I get that, like, there are room for jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't really need it. And granted, does anybody want to sit through a 4-hour movie in a movie theater? Absolutely not. But to quote Superbook, I was like, I'm up for a 4-hour movie as long as I can watch it from my couch. You know what I mean? And to me, that makes sense. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't even mind spending $30 for a movie if I have it for 12 or 24 hours and I can sit and watch it from my house. Because it's still cheaper than going to the movies.
True.
And it was... I gotta say this. Someone teach that kid how to run. And I get it because, like, you know, he is still... His powers... He's still new to his powers. And Lord knows what it's really like for him when he's running at that kind of speed. You know what I mean? So he may not have the control of his body that we think he does. And the final scene where he was, like, running around in a circle, he ran better. You know what I mean? It seemed a little more precise. It seemed a little like the stride in his arms seemed a little bit better.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Run though, I can't.
Yeah. He
like, who decided? I don't.
Yeah, don't
who
say.
Who decided it. To like? They're like,
who
they
taught
didn't
him
think,
how to run?
No, but not even that. Like, they didn't think about like looking to see how he ran before like they cast him. Like, he's great. Don't get me wrong, but, like, I don't think that would have been my first pick. I'd have been like, no, this doesn't make sense. Like, the Flash is a runner. Like,
well, he wasn't a runner then. Like, he was a forensic scientist. You know,
no,
well,
but
one of them was.
That's his fucking powers, running. Like,
well, it's
fast.
Like he said.
He looks special. He looks like Forrest Gump when the braces popped off.
No,
like,
Forrest Gump ran better than him.
Ugh, it's ridiculous.
But like the Flash said, him running fast is an oversimplification of what he does. But for the most part, it really is. It's like what people know is like he runs fast. He does things super fast. Or even, you know,
and
what
apparently
I
mean? Super awkward.
And super awkward. The one thing I will say that something else that they added was him making himself heal faster.
Yes.
That was cool. So it seemed like Joss Whedon had a better, not Joss Whedon, excuse me. Also, fuck Joss Whedon, you creepy fuck.
Right.
He's the dude that none of the women in Buffy the Vampire Slayer was like, we can't be around him alone.
Really?
Yeah. He's a nasty fuck, and fuck him. There's been a lot of stories coming out about him being a nasty fuck. Once or twice, you're like, okay, believe the women until they're proven wrong. When you have a dozen women coming out, nah, dude, you're a creepy fuck.
Well, yeah. Because there's no denying it at that point.
Yeah. So, Zack Snyder looked like his... I will be the first one to admit that I wasn't really looking forward to watching this. But now that I've watched it, I would definitely sit back and watch it again. You know what I mean? I've watched Infinity War and then gone right back into Endgame. And that's like a 5-hour jaunt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, so
I mean, if you don't think about it in that standpoint, it still goes to show you those, like, all these movies that they obviously need time to tell the stories. And I don't understand why they condense and pack so much into one. I mean, in one sense, I do. Because they're trying to not only relate to the comic world, but to, like, regular everyday people, right? Like, they're trying to give them, like, they're trying to make it so that if you don't know anything about the comics, it's still, I guess, enjoyable for you.
Yeah.
But I also feel like catering to the masses versus the comic book fans that have been there forever who actually know everything, it's stupid because those are the people that are going to keep on rewatching it, waiting for the next time.
Actually, and I say this as a comic book fan, we're the minority when it comes to these things. So I absolutely understand why they do the things they do. However, I think that the way Zack Snyder did it made a lot of sense. Because that didn't have to be a 4-hour movie. That could have been two
separate movies. That's exactly what I mean, instead of rushing it. But for some reason, they feel like they have to rush it.
And then you have the idea of, like, what Marvel's doing. When they're specifically making TV shows that kind of bend into all this. So now there is no lapses when it comes to, like, what's going to happen. And these movies are going to lead to the next movies. WandaVision is going to lead into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness or something like that. Doctor Strange is Multiverse of Madness, however it goes. So those two connect. When Loki comes out, that's going to lead into Thor, Love, and Thunder.
Yeah.
You know, so you have all these shows that are going to do that. There's Secret Invasion that's probably going to lead into something else. There's probably going to lead into Captain Marvel. Like now when Monica comes back in Captain Marvel 2, like we know she has her powers. We know that there's some animosity between her and Carol Danvers. And we know that from the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So adding these things in between that make things a little better. Or when they reference certain things, it's like, oh, well, where was such and such when this was going on? It's like, oh, they were dealing with this. Like, you know what I mean? Because one of the questions was, where were the rest of the Avengers when during Captain America Winter Soldier? Well, they were doing this. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, where was this and when this? So they're connecting all these dots that need to be connected, and it's smart. And I think this is, and I've talked about this on this show, I've talked about it on the Culture Comic Book News podcast. DC was like rushing for some reason, you know what I mean? And it's like they were in a race against Marvel, but it's like, No one really is rushing out. No one's is like in a rush to see that. We waited 12 years for Infinity War. For Endgame, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had to go through 3 Iron Man movies, 3 Captain America movies, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, 3 Thor movies, and 3 Avengers movies before we could even get to Endgame. And I forgot about Guardians of the Galaxy. You know what I mean? So as long as these movies don't come out on the same day, there really is no competition. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny that I forget what Captain America movie was going to come out the same day a DC Comics movie came out. And then Marvel was like, yeah, we're not budging. And then DC ended up moving their date because Marvel put their dick on the table, was like, what are you going to do? And whether or not DC Comics was intimidated, which they probably weren't, but they're just like, what's the point of even competing when we can just have our own separate weekend? So it makes sense. And so hopefully after watching, hopefully after people have seen the people in charge of Warner Brothers, the DC Comics franchises, they'll look at what happened and go, okay, people will watch this. And then seeing what everything happened with WandaVision and the Falcon and Winter Soldier, they'll look at that and go, okay, we can take our time to build a universe and make things happen. We don't need to rush everything instantly. But that remains to be seen. So that's, I think those are the only three things that we've really watched this last like week or so, right? We haven't really watched anything else like we started, is it Mr. Mayor? Mr. Mayor and
yes.
Call Me Cat.
Yes.
Those are kind of like random sitcom-y shows that I'm not sure that like people can really get into, but I like it. It's fun. It's quirky. It like Call Me Cat has like a laugh track and or a studio audience, and it's kind of funny, and it's a throwback. And Mr. Mayor stars who Maria is calling the new Betty White, Ted Danson.
Yes.
Who looks better now than he did when he was in Cheers.
Yes. No, he's definitely, he's like, what do they call men that, a silver fox?
That term is just hysterical.
He's so old. I love him, man.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's that. And the show's really good. It's got my girl, Bella Lavelle, who I love, from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which we haven't, I can't wait to actually do a show about that. But yes, that was what we've been watching so far. I did want to, we're 30 minutes in, I didn't want to do a super long show, so I do kind of want to end. Before we get into that, I got a funny story about, me and my wife were in the car, we were talking about just like random happiness at work. It can change people's lives, even people who don't necessarily like you, or they kind of like get upset with you, and you just keep killing them with like happiness and joy, and like sincere joy and happiness, not like sarcasm.
Yeah.
So it reminded me of the story of my old job, where there was this woman that everyone called a troll. She was short, she was angry, she was nasty, and her personality was really ugly. Like, she never said hi, never said good morning, she just, rah, 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 you know what I mean? Didn't even really speak. So one day, I was working at this garage security in the morning, and every morning this woman would come in, and I'd wave at her. And every morning, she'd never wave back. Wouldn't even look up from her, the steering wheel, straight out the windshield, no nothing. But every day, I wave. And one of the dudes I work with is like, why do you do it? I'm like, I'm going to wave at her every day until she waves. And like, she's never going to wave. I said, oh, she's going to. The last day I was working 8-4, I waved at her. And she picked her hand up to wave. And I pointed at her and smiled. And she smirked just a little bit and then kept on driving. And I was like, I won. I was like, I won. That's it. I will take my prize. And it's funny. So she would, like, so I would see her every so often when she'd drive out. And she looked like she wanted to smile, but she never would. But to me, that was a victory. In my current job, they were talking to my boss had called me. He goes, you know what? Such and such has gotten, he seems a lot happier now. And he goes, we think you broke him. He's like, we think you made that old man happy with all your positivity.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, after a while, you tend to wear down on people if you, like you say, kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
Well, some people. There are some people that will always be cunts, but.
Yeah, but it to me, it's kind of like, for me, it's, I like that. Like, you know what I mean? I like being that person who's kind of just like, you know what? I'm going to completely and always be this person, because for me, it makes a lot of sense. Like, it is funny, like now, how people like know me now as such a positive person. I was laughing with one of my supervisors, and they were like, "He goes, yeah, I like it. Like, I like that he has this attitude. Like, nah, like don't let him bring you down. We like it when you're happy. We don't like it when you're like upset." And talking with my therapist today, we were discussing like, you know, how do you feel about the new job? And I honestly said something, and this isn't, I'm not used to this, but I actually go to work and I can be myself.
Yeah.
Like, that's, at my old job, I could be myself with certain people. Like, you know what I mean? There were a lot of times I would either have to be ultra serious or kind of, like, overly goofy. But my buddy Jeff, I could be myself around. I cried around Jeff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when I thought I lost his friendship, I cried in front of him. I was like, dude, I didn't mean to hurt you. Like, you know what I mean? And it took a little while to repair that friendship because, like, you know, I did something wrong. Like, you know what I mean? So having to, like, rebuild that up felt good. And, like, we still talk to this day. Like, I wasn't on Facebook for a while. He was concerned. He's like, oh, you okay? I was like, ah. I was like, nah, man, it's been a bad few weeks or whatever. So, but at this job, it's like, I don't have to, like, be anybody else but myself. I don't have to, like, I can be the same goofy, dorky person that I am with person A that I can with person B. Everyone knows I'm married, so, like, there aren't people running around, like hitting on me because they know I'm faithful there. And one of them was like, I appreciate the fact that you're not any of the, you're not, like, any of the other scumbags who work here. Like, you know what I mean? Because there are people at my job who are married and who do cheat.
Well, both men and... I mean, that's everywhere, too.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I talk about you often. I make it a point. So, basically, what I had to edit something out, but what my wife was saying was, like, where I work can be a very sexually charged place, what you were going to say, right?
Yeah.
So, I just had to edit that out. But it can be. But and a lot of it has to do with, like, adrenaline. When you're going running to do something, and, like, everyone's adrenaline's pumping, like, you know what I mean? It's, essentially, we're all animals, you know what I mean? So, some people may look more attractive now, and then, like, you know what I mean? And, like, you exude pheromones. But again, because of who I am and people know me, like, they know that, like, not even to look at me that way. You know what I mean? Because I'm not that dude. And some people, like, you know, bully to them. If, like, you want, if that's what you want to do, be my guest. It ain't me, though. So, but it's cool. I love my job. I'm actually shocked that I can say that I really enjoy about 90% of the people that I work with. It's also awesome that all of my direct superiors on my particular shift are all people of color. They listen, they tend to listen, and they won't bullshit me around, and I appreciate the hell out of them, so.
Yeah.
And I've also, I think there are some people there that when, if and when I do move on, or if they move on, I think I would definitely still keep in touch with them. And
I mean, that's networking.
Yeah. But you know me, I'm very, like, reserved with certain people. My therapist said to me that, like, I don't let people into my circle often.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do, it's a little bit different. And so for me to, like, even think about, like, even getting somebody's number to be like, hey, XYZ ABC, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So I just want to say that. So I'm super happy about my job. And, like, and again, it's not, it's still weird to me to know that, like, people actually give a shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, tell them about my writing and they were like, oh, you get paid to do this. Like, oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, that's super dope. And it's not, like, in a sarcastic, snarky way.
I mean, because you're a writer, we've had this conversation.
But you know how it is. Some people go, oh, your little writing job, or your little, you know what I mean? Because people
I mean, who do you know that says that to you, though?
You'd be shocked.
Or says
a lot of people, a lot of people.
I know, but to you, nobody's ever said that to you. Yeah,
people said that to me.
Really?
Yeah, but they're assholes, so fuck them. But no, so, like I said, I'm happy to have this job and stuff like that. So, on to a more serious note. A couple days ago, we had another shooting in Colorado, and it was the 7th shooting in 7 days, and we're over 100 mass shootings in the year. And to put that in perspective, there hasn't even been 100 days in the year. I didn't realize there were that many. So
it happened everywhere. We just don't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know what the leading fact is in all of them?
You can go ahead and say it.
They're all men. You don't see women shooting up fucking schools, hospitals, postal offices. And everybody, so, like, it always makes me laugh when, like, other men, you know, used to make comments about how women couldn't be in charge because we were emotional. When we got our periods, our hormones would be off kilter and we would do things irrationally. But, like, literally, mass shootings are carried out by the male species. Women do not do that shit because we're not like that.
No, y'all.
Because we can control our emotions.
Y'all aren't even really known as serial killers.
I mean, there are a few women that are serial killers. There have been throughout history,
and I'm pretty sure there've been mass shootings that have been conducted by women. But for the most part, when you guys do dirt, it's like someone usually pushed you too far.
It's like one person. We don't just shoot people to shoot people. Like, if I'm mad at somebody, I don't take it out on the fucking world.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, that lady fucked up my eyebrows. I'm going to shoot up every nail salon I know.
Do you know why he did that, though?
Because he couldn't get sex? I don't know. Why?
He was a sex addict, and he started shooting up massage parlors.
I think that was an excuse.
It was.
Honestly. I think it was an excuse to carry out and murder Asian Americans so that the white fucking cop who decided to tell everybody that
he had a bad
day. He just had a bad day.
And fuck you for that. For those like words that come out your mouth.
I don't understand how that man still has a job. How do you say something like that on national television? The people's families, their friends, like other Asian Americans, like he just had a bad day. That's not a bad day. Having a bad day is like stubbing your toe, yelling at somebody, and then going back and apologizing because, you know, like you didn't get enough sleep or you didn't deliberately carrying out murder on several different people at several different locations, all of Asian descent, is not a bad day. That's...
You're a piece of shit.
That's homegrown terrorism. That is racism. That is disgusting.
It's domestic terrorism. It's exactly that. And people need to actually normalize that as well. When you do something, what they did was the definition of terrorism. And for those of you who don't know what the definition of terrorism is, I will tell you what it is. Terrorism, the unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in the pursuit of political aims. Like, you know what I mean? That's what that is. There is no other way for it. Or, excuse me, Department of Defense Dictionary of Military Terms defines terrorism as a calculated use of unlawful violence and threat on unlawful violence to incite, to inculcate fear, intend to coerce or intimidate governments or societies in the pursuit of goals that are generally political, religious, or ideological.
Mm-hmm.
That's what all this has been.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, cut that shit the fuck out. Like, call it what it is. It's fucking terrorism.
It's... So, the problem with America and with society in general is we want to pretend that everything bad is an outside world people thing, and nobody wants to admit that we produce people like this. That...
Yeah.
This isn't just a bad day, that this dude is legit, like, a terrorist. Your sex addiction, even if it was that, let's say that's the excuse, the fucking bullshit excuse for going out and murdering a bunch of Asian American people. Your sex addiction is not somebody else's problem. Your inability to control yourself is not an excuse, nor should it be excused by anyone, especially law enforcement, as an excuse for doing something like this. Again, saying things like, oh, he just had a bad day as an officer is fucking bullshit. I don't care what color he was. I would have not have gave a fuck. Like, doesn't matter. In no way, shape, or form is it appropriate to say a person who murdered several people at several locations just had a bad day. That is, it's befuddling to me that people are okay with that. It is befuddling to me that all these people who love to scream about law and order are always quiet when it comes to this shit, right? Like,
or the gun control
we need the cops, or we need this. No, the gun control people are on this. It's the people
No. They're not the people who want gun control on it. But the people who, like, the people like in the NRA,
just had a bad day, Mark.
Yeah. That's the part that really befuddled me.
But, well, the whole thing is that's the whole point about gun control, right? Why do we have to have AR-15s, assault rifles, for average everyday citizens? You're not doing anything with that. It's not for hunting. It's not for... It's literally just to murder people by the masses. Because you wouldn't hunt with a gun like that. It would destroy your meat. You wouldn't... Like, there's literally no reason to own that gun. And if you want to shoot it, fine. Have them be at gun ranges where you can go and test it out. Because what the fuck do you need to own something like that for? For why? Like, what... What other reason than to shoot off multiple rounds in the quickest fucking possible fashion? to murder as many as you can in a very small time frame.
Yeah,
there's literally no justified reason for someone who is an average everyday citizen to own a weapon of that caliber.
If we're gonna take, I'm gonna take it a step further to something that we talked about on the IG Live about the audacity and the I guess audacity could be the only word I use. No, the audacity and the entitlement of men to think that, like, they can just go out, grab a gun, and just start shooting people.
They had a bad day. What are you talking about?
You know what I mean? Like, it's nasty. It's disgusting. I don't think that, like, it's, and I've said this on this podcast before, Captain America had a quote when he was talking about terrorism, and he said, people like us will never understand that because our minds can't go to the places that theirs is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's flat out. And again, it's still flat out disgusting. Regardless of what anybody says, it's nasty, it's deplorable, it's atrocious. And also, you will not hear me say these terrorist names on my platform. And if I have in the past, I won't do it again. Because all we're doing is glorifying those names. We need to start making sure we do. As we start saying the names of the victims, if you can donate to their families, find ways to donate to the families. It's really simple. I shouldn't say simple, but try not to get scammed because people are awful. But you can definitely find the names of the people. In like say their names, like promote their names, Google their names, talk about it more. Like even and people always go, oh, all you did was post it on Facebook. Fun fact for you. There have been things I've talked about on Facebook, things that my wife have talked about on Facebook, and people will have side conversations with us saying, oh, I didn't think about it like that. So yes, sometimes social media can help you get your voice out and can actually make a difference. So when people say to you, oh, all you do is post stuff about your cause, they obviously don't get it. Fuck them. Like, you know what I mean? Because you may be reaching people. Like, do you know how many people who I'll read something and they'll post on, or they'll post something on Instagram and it'll lead me to someone's page and it'll say the proper way to use pronouns. You know what I mean? Or like, hey, this is what people would like to be called. Or women telling stories about things that like even that I may not know is offensive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And granted, I'm out the game. So I don't have to worry about flirting and things like that. But I have single friends. And, like, we have conversations about that, male and female. And we discuss the things that are going on in this world. We talk about what it's like to be single, whether they're gay, straight, asexual, or whatever. And I learn a lot from that. Sometimes, and it provides me content to get out to the world, to someone else who may not know. And so that's really how these conversations are had. These are how these conversations go. And this is how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say it one more time to the people in the back. If your purpose in life is love, keep doing what you're doing. Keep posting on social media. Make your voice loud. Like, if you're gay and you feel comfortable enough to come out and tell people, do the damn thing. If you're proud of something you did, tell people how proud you are of it. If something happened and it was intolerant and you feel the need to let people know that, like, this hatred isn't something you're going to stand for, post that shit. If you have friends that you're close to that you can ask questions to and know that they won't judge you, ask these questions. Don't be ashamed to ask. That's another thing. Don't be ashamed to inquire about stuff. You're never too young or you're never too old to know things.
Yeah.
I'm still learning. My wife teaches me new shit every goddamn day. You know what I mean? Like, just being around her, like, it's something new. My idea of religion, my eyes were open a little bit different on, like, the way things are going. Just not just my wife, with my co-host and superior, Super Woke Hobby. His wife, who talks about God, and it's like, when you can tell, like, she genuinely believes in it and loves it. Like, you know what I mean? My homegirl, Amanda. Like, she's really spiritual. My twin, like, she... Like, you know what I mean? She has a way of thinking about things, and I can relate to her in terms of, like, the energy that people disperse and the energy that you bring inside.
Yes.
If you're closed off, you may not... If you're closed off, you don't know these things. You don't realize these things because you're not allowing information to be accepted. And like, what kind of person wants to be ignorant to anything? You know what I mean? You can learn. You can learn anywhere. Like, so there are things that you're always going to be able to learn, and to close yourself off from that, it seems counterproductive. Like the thing, oh, no new friends. You're an idiot. I'm glad I've made friends over the last few years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm glad that like my circle has expanded. I'm glad that like I have somebody I can go to with my writing. I'm glad I have friends who trust me enough to let me read their writing. You know what I mean? I'm inspired by my best friend Lavelle, who like, father, husband, works a part-time job, works a full-time job, runs a website. You know what I mean? Like Harvey works a ridiculous job, but still has time to, help me with the website and the podcast.
Yeah.
The shit you deal with your autoimmune and still manage to like put up with my nonsense and still like clean the house before 8:30 in the morning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that you're still in school and you still have time to, like, you know, watch a show with me, record a podcast with me. These things are inspiring. And if you don't really look at the simplicity, the simple things that create a larger picture, I don't know, you're just kind of missing out. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that could be a whole nother podcast in itself. I honestly don't even know how we got in a conversation because people are idiots. That's been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank my lovely life for joining me. If you're looking for me, excuse me, because if you want to find my wife, she's sitting on the couch studying. I'm going to make her read Immortal Hulk. You can find me at oldmanwadecom on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me in a Superior Super Bowl coffee on the Old Man Wade Show on Facebook. We're interactive. We post a bunch of comic book shit. We post a bunch of like news stuff. We let our opinions known that we will not stand for any hatred of any kind. We're all for inclusion, and I'm thankful that the people on that page are the same way as well. And like some conversations I had, sometimes they're not, but for the most part, you know. And if you say some foul shit, I'll just fucking delete you and block you. Go fuck yourself.
Damn it, Wade.